Chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, we're walking through the book of Romans on Sundays, and I'm thankful for the things that we've seen and heard in the Word of God so far, and excited about the message today. We're talking really now about sanctification from chapter 3, around verse 21 to the end of chapter 5, it was all about salvation. Now he's really moving into the issue of sanctification, because God saved us for a purpose. And he doesn't just save us from sin's penalty, but he is working to save us from the power of sin day by day in our lives. And he wants us to be changed. And we have been changed if we've been born again, and that should be evident in the way we live our lives. And so that's really what we're seeing here. And as you used to be in the world, a slave to sin because sin and death ruled over you, as you come to faith in Christ, sin doesn't have power over you anymore. Now you're under the power of God and righteousness, and so you ought to yield yourself as servants of righteousness, and that's what we're going to see in the text today. So if you're able, please stand with me. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to read the text before you're seated. Romans chapter 6, we're going to pick up at verse 15. Just another friendly reminder, whose word is this? So when we read the Bible, who's speaking? Yeah, we're about to hear from God. So set your heart and your mind to that reality, to calm yourself, to eliminate distractions that are going on in your mind right now, and to focus in on this reality. We're about to open the eternal Word of God and hear from the eternal God. And so let's get our minds right for that. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, God, we thank you for your Word, that you have given it, that you have preserved it, that you have established it in heaven forever. And Lord, I pray that you give us a realization that this is the very word of God we're reading today. And help us to learn of your word, that we might know you, and we might be equipped to make you known. I pray you'll help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. We are thankful for the day, for the sunshine, for the fellowship with the saints, for our mothers and the opportunity to celebrate them today and give thanks to you because of them. And we're thankful for the Word of God. And I pray that your Word would accomplish its purposes in our hearts, that the lost would hear and believe and be saved, that the saved would be fully surrendered to you, that we would die to ourselves and be filled with your Spirit. Lord, that you would help all of us to continue in your Word as true disciples, bearing much fruit for your glory. Please bless now. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Amen. Please be seated. As we pick up here, verse 15, I want you to notice the parallels that happen in verse 1 and verse 15. If you go back to verse 1, you look up there, you'll see that it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin? So there's a parallelism that's going on here as he walks through this. And he's dealing with continuing sin, not continuing in sin, the first section, because of grace. And then at the last, because we're not under law. We've been put under grace. We're not under the law. And so he's giving us this parallel. Notice next, he says, not, or that grace may abound in verse 1. And then down at verse 15, because we're not under the law, but under grace. So should we sin? Should we continue in sin? Should we live in a lifestyle of sin because grace can abound? Or because we're not under the law? The answer is, God forbid. Amen. Or let it not be. In no way should we continue in sin, continue living a lifestyle of sin, so that grace may abound. Know ye not that if you've been baptized into Christ, you've been baptized into his death, and then he says, know ye not who you yield yourselves servants to obey, servants you are, of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so he's paralleling these things for us to continue the thought, to reemphasize this thought. And listen, he just spent a couple of chapters convincing us that salvation is by faith alone, and it's only by faith that we're justified before God. And maybe you've been frustrated with people who would question you. You mean to tell me that you believe that you're saved not by anything that you do, but only by faith in Jesus, that you can trust in him, and it doesn't matter what you do after that, you still have eternal life. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, you ought to believe that, because that's what he just spent several chapters teaching us, what Christ taught us. Salvation is not by works. You can't be justified by the works of the law, only by faith. And so this is a reasonable question. By the way, I think this is true. If we preach the gospel the way that we should, somebody would have this question. And it would be a reasonable question. That if you're really only saved by faith in what Jesus did, and it has nothing to do with what you've done, then what difference does it make if you keep living in sin? So it's really a good question. You guys understand that? Like, it makes sense. You're telling me that you trust in Jesus and you get a free ride to heaven and it doesn't matter what you do. That's what the gospel is. And the answer is yes, but does that mean you should continue in sin? But shall we sin because we're under grace and not under the law? The law doesn't have power over us anymore? God forbid. God forbid. So while the question makes sense, and I think it's a logical and a reasonable response to the true gospel, that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And when he saves you forever. He's the one who holds you in his hand. And it's not by works of righteousness at any point in our life to keep us saved. Amen. That gospel truth, it is a reasonable response to say, well, then what difference does it make how we live after we're saved? If you're going to be saved no matter what, who cares? And the answer is, we should care. Amen. Because God cares. And the way we live after we're saved is not going to change our standing with God, but it is going to change how we glorify God in our lives. Amen. So down to verse 15 and 16, really the gist of it is this: don't sin. Amen. Shall we sin? No. No, we shouldn't sin. We shouldn't keep living in sin. We shouldn't live habitual lifestyles of sin. Our lives should not be defined by sin, because we become slaves to what we obey. Now, most of you in your Bible this morning, it has the word servant. And that word servant is doulos in the Greek, and it's literally a slave. It's a slave or a bond slave, or it's translated servant most of the time in our Bible. Now, I think most of us like the word servant better than we like the word slave. Amen. But I think we'll understand what the Word of God is teaching us today a little better if we realize that we were enslaved to sin. Amen. Weren't we? Amen. Listen, before you came to Christ, you couldn't do anything but sin. Amen. Even the good that you did wasn't actually good in the eyes of God, because it wasn't done in faith. It wasn't done in obedience. It wasn't done in the glory of God. And if it doesn't have faith, then it's sin. Amen. And so there's a whole lot of people in the world doing philanthropic things. They're doing good things that seem to be good, morally good on the outside, but they're not actually good, because they don't do it in faith and to the glory of God. So it's not actually good. It's good, but it's not really good. Is that confusing? Some of you have very confused faces right now. I'm not here to confuse you. You realize that there's bad, and there's really, really bad that's really bad, because it's evil and it's done with evil intent. That's, and a lost person, and you and I before we came to Christ, that's all we could do, was bad, really bad. But then there are people who are lost, and they still do some things that are good. They're charitable, maybe. They give to a charitable cause, and that's good. But they're doing it not out of a heart of faith. It's really rooted, ultimately, in pride. It's really motivated in self. And so it can't actually be good. It looks good, but it's not really good. But only when we come to faith in Christ can we do good. Amen. And it actually be good. Because we do it in faith. Amen. And we do it to the glory of God. There's opportunity. There's a chance for us every day to do good that's actually good. And we become slaves to what we obey. You're a slave to whatever you yield your obedience to. Amen. Whatever you yield your obedience to. Does it make sense? Like if I know what's sinful, and I yield myself, my members, my body on this planet to do that which is evil, I become a slave to that thing. And so many people in the world are deceived because they think that by yielding to sin, they're actually being free from the tyranny of God. And all they're doing is making themselves slaves to sin. And you guys all know that that's true. Some of you have experienced it, and all of you have seen it in people's lives. When they yield themselves over to sin, they become a slave to that sin. It becomes their master. It takes control of their lives. And some things are easier to see that in than others. But we could talk about drugs and alcohol today, and how when somebody yields themselves to those things, they take complete control of their life. They become the Lord and master of their life. And so they become a slave. They're enslaved to that sin. And you and I have a choice to make every day, whether I'm going to yield myself to sin, and the end of it is always death, or I'm going to yield myself to righteousness, because the end of it is life. Amen. Because the end of it is eternal life and glory to God forever. Sin always leads to death. Amen. The wages of sin is every man's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sin, when it is finished, the end of sin is always death. Now, we talked about this. We know that there's physical death when your spirit is separated from your body. We also know that there's spiritual death when you're spiritually separated from God because of your sin. And we also know that for those who are spiritually dead and come to physical death, that they will meet eternal death. That's to be eternally separated from God without any hope of ever being redeemed. That's hell, friends, and the lake of fire. Amen. Separated from the goodness of God forever. And so sin is going to result in death. Now, we don't talk about it much, but John writes about sin unto death. And I'm persuaded that sin unto death is sometimes we see that in the Gospels and in the epistles. This is someone who has been born again, but they refuse to repent and turn back to God, and God will call them home. Amen. And we see it. We saw it at Corinth when they were really making a mockery of the Lord's table, and some of them were sickly and some of them had died. Amen. Right? Amen. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit of God, and they died. Amen. So what's the warning today? That if you're born again, you still with me? You will always have eternal life. But you could meet with an untimely physical death if you refuse to repent. So what's the answer? Repent. Be quick to confess. Be quick to turn back to God. Because we could become slaves to what we obey. Now, if you were enslaved to sin with the end of it being death, and you cried out to a Savior who set you free from sin and death and gave you eternal life, wouldn't you rather serve Him? Amen. Why would we ever go back and serve sin? Amen. Why would we ever put ourselves under that bondage again? It has no power over us. It can't force us into that. We choose to go back into that. So why would we ever do that? So Paul says, listen, don't yield yourself to sin because it's going to enslave you, but rather yield yourself to righteousness. Give your life over to doing what's good because the end of that is life everlasting. Amen. Not only for you, because you already have that, but also God will use you to bring life to others around you. So when we yield ourselves to righteousness, yield ourselves to obedience, it brings righteousness in our lives, it brings holiness in our lives, and it brings life to those that are around us. So remember, we become slaves to whatever we obey. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form or the type or the pattern of doctrine that was given to you. So what's our response to the fact that we were slaves to sin and death, and now we are slaves to obedience to Christ, righteousness, and holiness? Well, we ought to give thanks to God. Amen. Are you thankful that you've been delivered from the power of sin and death? Amen. I mean, if you were a literal slave, a physical slave, someone who had been kidnapped, locked in chains, and forced into labor, how excited and how thankful and grateful would you be when someone came and liberated you? Amen. someone came and took the chains away and set you free and gave you liberty, wouldn't you love them? Amen. Wouldn't you be grateful to them? If the house was burning down, and the firefighter kicked in the door and drug you out of that burning house, saving you from sure death, how grateful would you be? Amen. If you were drowning and someone dove into the water and pulled you out and brought you back to life, saved you from certain death, how grateful would you be? Amen. But Christ came into this world. He came to die in our place and to save us. Amen. And he has given you life. And he saved you from certain eternal death. And he's given you freedom from sin. Amen. How grateful should we be? I wonder how many times we go through a day without thinking about what Christ has done for us. We wake up and we're busy. We oversleep when we're rushing around. And we do the business of our lives without ever even giving a thought to the one who died for us and rose again. God forbid. Amen. Give thanks to God. You've been made free from sin, and you've been made a servant of righteousness. So where you were enslaved to sin, now, listen, you're not going to like this, but this is what he says. You were enslaved to sin, now you're enslaved to righteousness. Amen. What happened before you knew Christ? Sin had complete control over you. It dominated you. It controlled your every thought. It was a tyrant over you. It was a hard taskmaster. It forced you into the way you lived your life because there was no way you could do anything else. You were imprisoned by your own nature. You were imprisoned by a will that wasn't submitted to God. Sin had complete dominating control over you. And now that you've been set free from that, now righteousness takes that place. Now righteousness rules over you. Now righteousness has control over you. Now righteousness is ruling and reigning sovereign over your life, not sin, but righteousness. Now we don't like to think about being enslaved to anything, but you ought to rejoice today that you've been made a slave of Jesus. Give thanks because you were enslaved to sin, but then you obeyed from the heart that form or that type or that manner of doctrine that was delivered to you. What is doctrine? That's just teaching. It's another word for teaching. And what was it that these saints at Rome were taught? Well, they were taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were taught that all of the Old Testament scriptures, those holy scriptures, told of one who would come, Messiah, and that Jesus of Nazareth was that Messiah. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. He rose again on that third day and conquered hell and the grave, and he gives eternal life to all who believe. Amen. That's the doctrine that was delivered to them, that Jesus is the very Christ. And they believed that doctrine. Amen. They obeyed from the heart that doctrine. Amen. If you want to be set free from sin, if you want to be enslaved to Christ rather than sin, if you want to end up with life rather than death, then what you need to do is obey from your heart this doctrine. Amen. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, all according to the scriptures. You must believe. Amen. You must repent. You must obey from the heart that form of doctrine. I think it's interesting that he says from the heart, because our faith can't just be mental assent. It's a decision that happens here. Let me just ask you guys, did anybody have a hard time with that before you were saved and about the time God was drawing you to himself, that you believed it here, but you had a hard time getting it from here to here? Amen. Anybody else have that trouble? Because I did. I had trouble. Like, I got it up here at least a little bit, but it took a while for it to get here. But I'm telling you that we have to believe from the heart. You have to trust. And it's difficult for me to even put that into words. I just know this. It comes from the heart. This is not just a mental assent. This is not an intellectual endeavor. This is a heart endeavor. And God wants your heart. So you have to trust and obey from the heart. What is it that God commands us to do? Because Jesus promised that whoever obeyed his Father, whoever did the will of his Father, they would have eternal life. And so Christ comes back and defines that for us, and he says, this is the will of my Father, that you believe in the one who he sent. Amen. This is the will of the Father. Believe in Christ. Trust in him. Obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was given to them. By the way, this doctrine that was given is not for you to keep to yourself. It's to be given to others.
Amen.
The gospel, the doctrine of Christ was delivered to these saints at Rome, and they got it. And because they obeyed from the heart that doctrine, they had eternal life. They were freed from sin. They were not enslaved to sin anymore, but enslaved to righteousness. And now they not only need to have that doctrine, but they need to deliver it to someone else. And you and I today, we can't hold on to this doctrine on our own. We got to deliver it to other people.
Amen.
Deliver it to others. So we become slaves to what we obey. So obey righteousness. Give thanks to God that you've been set free from sin and you've been enslaved to righteousness. Being made free from sin, you are now enslaved to righteousness. Look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. He tells us about where we are in Christ, and now he's going to tell us about the progression that we need to keep growing. And he says in verse 19, I'm talking to you in the manner of men. I'm speaking to you as men because we are in the flesh. So let me put this in other words, he's saying, let me put this in human terms for you. Because you're in the flesh, because of the weakness of your flesh, I want to put this in terms, human terms for you to understand. Now, Paul just said that the saints at Rome had weakness in their flesh. You think that's offensive? Are you guys offended by that? Do you think that's true for us? Do we have weakness in our flesh?
Amen.
All right, let's make sure we get a good balance today. You need to recognize that you have weakness in your flesh so that you're not too prideful.
Amen.
But you need to be careful not to use the weakness of your flesh as an excuse for disobedience.
Amen.
Good? Yeah, because the Lord told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
When I'm weak, then am I strong.
Amen.
So what do? I recognize my weakness, but I'm not going to use that as a justification for continuing in sin. God forbid. But instead, I'm going to recognize my weakness and let it cause me to trust in Jesus, to rest in hope, to rely on the power of his Spirit. As ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. I don't want to spend too long here, but I do think it's beneficial for us to at least remember a little bit. Do you remember what your life was like without Christ? And listen, I know some of you guys were saved when you were little bitty. And you really don't have that testimony that you were out there in the world living in all kinds of pagan wickedness, and then God saved you from that when you were older in life. I know a lot of you grew up in church in Christian homes. And by the way, praise God. But all of us were lost at some time. And all of us, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we grow in sanctification, the closer we get to holiness, the more we can see how evil really is. That sin is exceedingly sinful. And if you would go back and think about where you were without Christ, you might remember that it was from iniquity to iniquity, that sin just keeps growing and growing and growing. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse. That spiral just keeps going down and down and down and down. And one sin leads to another sin.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
And isn't it terrifying how it can start so small?
Amen.
And maybe some of you can't remember, but I know times in my life when I got so far away and you're standing at the edge of this cliff and you're looking back and saying, how in the world did I get here?
Amen.
Friends, it starts so small. And the warning is, don't give yourselves to sin at all.
Amen.
Not even a little bit, because it's going to lead to worse and worse and worse things. That's where you were. You have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, iniquity unto iniquity. That's where you were. But now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. The way you gave yourself over to sin, now give yourself over to righteousness. Because here's what happens. Just like iniquity leads to iniquity to iniquity, righteousness leads to righteousness and more righteousness. It grows in holiness. Now, the Apostle Paul was one of the most zealous men, I think, ever to live. And when he was lost, he was zealous in his work against Christ and his church. Amen. Wasn't he? Amen. I mean, that man was passionate about rounding up the Christians. As a matter of fact, his passion and hatred for Christians was so great that when he was converted and became a Christ follower, all of the churches had rest. Amen. I mean, that was it. When Paul gets saved, the churches have rest because he was so on fire for destroying, wreaking havoc. But when he was born again, he took that same zeal and he put it into Christ. Amen. That same zeal, and he put it into work of God. And I've thought about this before. I look at people's lives and how hard they work at living in sin. I mean, the time and the money and the effort they put into a lifestyle of sinfulness. If they were born again and took that same passion and zeal for the wickedness they're living in and put that into the gospel and into Christ and into his kingdom, wow.
Amen.
But there's something wrong with us. Because we don't bring the same passion to righteousness that we had for iniquity. And God help us, because we should. I mean, just think about it. People that you know that are living every week for Friday so that they can live for wicked things. I mean, it's their passion. Maybe some of you guys don't work with the kind of people I used to work with. But some of you could actually remember being in that life. All of their time, all of their money, all of their efforts for these things. What if we yielded ourselves to righteousness in that way?
Amen.
That every day we're focused on living for righteousness. Every day we're longing to do things for the kingdom of God. Every day we're striving to be more and more and more like Christ. What if? Well, that's what he says. Give yourself to righteousness. When you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, when you were lost and you were serving sin, you were without the influence of righteousness. Righteousness was not part of your life. You were free from it. It wasn't a part of you. It didn't influence you. But now you can yield yourselves to righteousness.
Amen.
And sin can be the part of your life that you're free from. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have fruit, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, these verses are really critical that you pay attention to it, because he's been talking us through this. He spent a lot of time telling us that we're justified by faith alone. But then he comes into this business of sanctification. He says, listen, you shouldn't continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid, how could you do that? You shouldn't live in sin because you're not under the law, but you should yield yourself to righteousness. And when you start talking about sanctification, people automatically kind of slide into this legalism, thinking now, going against what you just learned, that somehow you're going to be justified in some way by your works. And so people are always leaning one way or the other. And he's saying, listen, you got to yield yourself to righteousness because you want to have fruit. You want to have fruit that is unto holiness.
Amen.
And the end of that is everlasting life. So if you just take verses 21 and 22, it might sound like, by the way you serve God, that's how you end up with eternal life. But is that true? No, and he clarifies it for us in verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the, what's that word? Gift of God is eternal life. You don't get the gift by working. You don't get the gift by serving. You don't get the gift by doing. You get the gift by believing. Amen. So he's gonna try to balance this out for us to where we understand. Your salvation is entirely by grace through faith. But because you've been given this gift, you ought to live your life as a slave to righteousness, which leads to holiness, and the end of a life of faith and righteousness and holiness is eternal life. But the eternal life didn't come because of the holiness. And it didn't come because of your yieldedness to righteousness. The eternal life comes, the end comes, because of your faith in Jesus. Is that clear? Listen, all of you in this room today have friends all over this community and other communities who are Christians, who have a faith in God and believe a lot of different things about the Bible. Is that true? And everyone in this room, I would say, if you've got any Christian friends around, most of them have beliefs about what we're talking about today. And most of the Christians I know have an idea that you trust in Jesus and then you do certain things or don't do other things in order to maintain your eternal life. So it's really critical that you understand these biblical truths. The eternal life that we get at the end is a gift. You didn't earn it. You couldn't earn it. That's why it's a gift. But you have to also understand that because of the truth of the doctrine of the security of the believer, the doctrine that life is everlasting to all who believe, because of that truth, you should not continue to yield yourself to sin, but you should yield yourself to righteousness. Not to earn your salvation, not to maintain your salvation, not to keep your salvation, but because it has freely been given to you. Amen. And I don't know about you today. I don't know your heart. But for me, when I realize that no matter what I do, no matter how bad I mess up, and I've messed up pretty bad, no matter what I do, I still have eternal life. When I realize that truth, it does not motivate me to sin. It breaks my heart that I do sin. Amen. And it motivates me to live for the one who died for me and rose again. Amen. It constrains me. His love constrains me to live for him. So where are you at today? It could be that you're still a servant of sin because you've never trusted Christ. And you could say, well, I go to church, or I've been baptized, or I'm a member of a Baptist church. And all of those things could be true in your life, and you could still end up in hell. Because the question is not, have you been baptized? The question is not, are you a member of a church? The question is not, are you a good person? The question is, are you trusting in Christ alone? So it could be that you haven't done that and you're still a slave to sin, but Jesus died for you and he loves you and he wants to save you and you could trust in him today. It could be that you're saved, but you're not committed to following Christ. We sang a song earlier, I am resolved. We need to be resolved no longer to linger, no longer charmed by this world's delights, because we've got a higher calling, things that are nobler, things that are higher and nobler. That those things have allured us. Those things are drawing us. That we want to live for holiness. And by the way, holiness is defined by the word of God, not by us. Amen. Not by culture. Not by what's acceptable with us in the church. But by what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Maybe you've never been saved. You need to trust Christ. Maybe you are saved, but you're not surrendered to Christ, fully committed to Christ, resolved to walk with him. You need to make that decision today. Maybe you need to be baptized, make a commitment. Whatever it is, I pray that all of us will respond in faith and obedience. Will you stand with me? If you've received life through faith in Jesus, rejoice. Understand today that you've been made free from sin. You're not enslaved to sin anymore. Now you are a servant of Christ. You can live in righteousness and for His and in holiness for His glory. If He's convicting your heart, I want to encourage you to respond in faith and obedience. Listen, God speaks through His Word and His Spirit, and if He's convicting your heart, you know what you need to do. Step out and obey Him today while we sing.